Wieland Presley and Van Hull Funeral Homes have been serving Quad City families and veterans for over 100 years. Wieland Presley is located in Rock Island, Milan, Reynolds, and Van Hull in East Moline, proudly supporting WQPT. Alternatives is a proud supporter of WQPT and has been serving our community for 40 years. Alternatives provides professional guidance to maintain independence and quality of life for older adults and adults with disabilities.
Moline getting ready for a fresh start this summer, plus an essential need for parents being met in the cities. It's something taken for granted until you become a new parent. But the cost of diapers has risen 22% since 2018. And one group in the cities is trying to help you on that. More in a moment, but first, the new plan for the heart of Moline. Residents were asked to put together their wish list for the downtown area as a redevelopment agency tries to develop a unifying plan. Now that work on the new Interstate 74 bridge is complete. This comes as Moline tries to reinvigorate life along the riverfront. And we talked with Moline Center Manager Kirk Marski about the plans in the short term and the future. So downtown is becoming more and more of a destination place, especially with the new I-74 bridge. The survey was completed, the online survey. There's been a number of community events to get feedback. What have you gotten so far as what the pulse of the people, so to speak, as far as this downtown is concerned?
Well, for the riverfront plan and specifically?
Yes.
Well, the community feedback's been compiled into a summary that they've already released. And from that, MKSK.
That was the one in October.
Yeah.
That was released in October, yes.
And so they've been able to come up with three different design plans that they're looking at. And now they are continuing to get community feedback on that so people can still take the survey and give feedback on the designs that they're coming up with. So.
And we're expecting a final report in late spring or early summer as far as, you know, the best foot forward. Mm-hmm. What do you think is going to be in there?
Well, it's hard to know. Even with the three plans that they have, it could be a hybrid of the three altogether. So they've done a good job with putting the ideas together and presenting it to the community in a way that makes it easy to see what they're looking at doing and how it could come together. So, you know, some of the things they have to consider is that area is an area that floods, as it is now, on the area west of where I-74 bridge is. So some of the plans incorporate that idea that it's going to flood from time to time, you know, with the natural setting.
It doesn't flood very badly.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, to the east of the I-74 bridge, Ben Butterworth, it floods far more than it does in the slough area.
Yeah, in the area where the water treatment plant is.
Right, that area, that's specific.
Yeah, so that's why with one of the plans is to incorporate a natural setting and allow for the times when it does need to flood without having to put up a lot of flood protection or annual flood protection of some kind.
But it's a no-brainer that the downtown area has to be a mix of retail, perhaps office, diminished office, residential very much,
yes,
and a public gathering space. I mean, is one more important than the other?
Not necessarily. It's good to have a balance of all of those, residential, retail, office space. Nationwide, the trend has been in recent years towards more residential in downtown areas. And when the COVID economy happened, then it created more work from home scenarios, remote working.
Yes. Sure.
So Moline's no different. You know, we have a lot of residential already downtown. They're adding more. The city of Moline is a little bit different than some other cities because we're landlocked. So some cities can build out further. Moline doesn't have that option. We've used all the land that we can for the most part.
Well, and the only place you could expand is to the south, and you happen to have an airport there.
Right.
And then you have a hill that's there as well. So, yeah, you're right.
So, you know, there's a lot of buildings downtown that can be revitalized and turned into residential housing. Some of that is previous office space, but others is just unused space. You have the street level space that's high profile, that's right. good for retail and restaurants and those kinds of things. And then you always have the upper levels, and sometimes you're not quite sure what's up there. It could be offices, it could be residential, it could be empty, you don't know. But so the city works with developers and property owners to develop that into residential.
Now that the old I-74 bridge is gone, even the last anchorage on the Moline side exploded, it's gone.
Yeah.
It used to be that you tried to envision what downtown could look like.
Yes.
Now it becomes a little more tangible, does it not?
Absolutely, yeah. And for the city, it's becoming clearer because they have the opportunity to acquire the land that was previously owned by Deere and Company or the state or the federal government where the footprint of the bridge was. So the city is able to start to put things in focus more. But you're absolutely right. When you come off of the bridge and you see the land that is now vacant around you, you can start to see where they can put things. And it's a game changer for people being able to visualize what can go in there.
That's the long term. That's the future. Let's talk about the near future this summer. Moline Center has been very active in trying to get life. I want to say nightlife, but that's not it. I mean, just festivals and concerts, and you got Mercado, you got the Bass Street Landing, you've got the stages that are available. You had success for Moline's birthday party,
yes.
And that seems to be almost feeding on itself.
Yeah, well, we're fortunate to have a lot of great assets that exist already within Moline Center and the downtown area. And those are very vibrant entities that do a lot of not just entertainment, but programming and community interactions. And so we're fortunate to have that already. I label it as experiences. People come downtown Moline for the experience of it. And we have the large arena. We have mid-sized venues like Mercado on Fifth and the Bass Street Landing. And then we have places like the Sound Conservatory, Spotlight Theater, Poor Brothers, places that have other types of theater and entertainment on a smaller scale. So we have all sizes of events, all types of events that are happening. And one of the things we did last year with the Moline Center program was update our website and put a calendar on there that was a more dynamic calendar than the one we had before that. But the idea is to try to capture as many events as we can on that calendar so people have a central source to go to find all of the different things that are happening downtown.
Let's talk about that. I mean, you even brought some up, the Sound Conservatory, mm-hmm. the Black Box Theater, the venues that are downtown.
Yes.
And they seem to be doing okay.
Yes. Yeah. And it's part of the experience. You drive downtown, you park, you can go to different places while you're down there. If you want to go to an event at the Sound Conservatory, there's the Axis Hotel right across the street mm-hmm. that has the Fifth Avenue Syndicate. And we have restaurants all throughout downtown. So you make it a night to go out and do different events and different things. And even if you park in that area and go to a concert at the arena, it's not a far distance to walk to. We like the walkability of downtown. That's another big factor as well. So.
Well, and you're a townie.
Yes.
And I've been around for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And when I first got here, it was so vibrant in the district of Rock Island.
Yes.
But it ended up being very much a bar scene. Mm-hmm. And Moline, when it first started, some of the renovations in the early 2000s, it was a lot of bars and things like that. It seems to have morphed into more of a family-friendly type of atmosphere.
Yeah.
I don't want to malign what Rock Island's doing because they're making big strides right. in their downtown right now.
Yeah.
And Moline is too, but it really seems to have been a different approach.
Well, we have attractions too, so with John Deere Pavilion and the riverfront itself and
the Vibrant Center, of course,
yeah,
Vibrant Arena.
Yeah, yeah. So there is a variety. I look at my own life as I look at downtown, and when I grew up in the 70s, they had a lot of parades downtown, people did their shopping downtown. And then as an adult, when my children were young, that was the time when John Deere Pavilion was developing mm-hmm. and those kinds of things. So different experiences for myself, just in the course of my life living in Moline, but it's definitely a variety of things that people can do downtown.
Let's talk about the big events, because a Missouri Valley women's basketball, Hoops in the Heartland, mm-hmm. that has such a huge impact.
It does.
The concerts that are going on at the mm-hmm. Vibrant Arena, is this a real sign of the post-COVID era and that things are getting back to the way they were, if not better?
I would hope so. Yeah. Sometimes it's hard to think back to how things were before COVID, and sometimes it seems like it was long ago now, and then other days it seems like it was just yesterday. But from the context of what we do downtown, the feedback that we get is very good, that people are getting back out and doing things and living life the way it was before COVID-19 came around.
So. What's the big plan for the summer then? I mean, I talked about that festival for Moline's birthday. Mm-hmm. I mean, that really has kind of been a domino effect. We're going to see more of that?
Well, they did the Moline 150 was in 2022. Last year they did Mo Live. Right. And so this year they are not planning to do a large scale event like that. That might be something that they'll do again in the future. But as far as Mercado on 5th has all the things that they do and do well, and Bass Street Landing Concert will return. And then there's also a number of festivals and events that happen at Bass Street separate from those concerts as well. So we're working to make sure that those are highlighted on our calendar too. And then the theater that we mentioned and other events downtown. Historic Block is another place we're looking at. People remember the little courtyard next to River House. Where they did the summer concerts there as well, I think usually on Fridays, and that hasn't been done in a number of years, but we're working to try to bring that back and make that space available as well. So that'd be a little bit smaller than Bass Street Landing, but similar outdoor events there.
And the key is, I mean, even once all of the development is done over the next 10, 15 years, mm-hmm. is that it is what? Family centric?
Yeah, I mean, you want to have a variety of activities. You know, some of it is would be more adult oriented, I guess. Definitely family events. We do Holiday Hop, Lighting on the Commons in the holiday season, but for what we do, family oriented is probably more in our wheelhouse. So, and then with the riverfront development, part of the strategic planning with that is what are you going to offer with that area, but also how do you connect that to the downtown area? And again, making everything walkable and partnering those two areas together to make them kind of mesh, I guess you'd say.
Moline Center Manager, Kirk Marski. Still ahead, the bottom line when it comes to diapers, a group that's trying to retain a vital safety net in the cities. But first, the music scene right now. Jenny Lynn Stacy says she provides an eclectic and comforting array of melodies strung together with love. Here's some of that love right now. Jenny Lynn Stacy with Nothing to Lose.
Lives have drifted.
Jenny Lynn Stacy with Nothing to Lose performed at the Black Box Theater in downtown Moline. It's estimated parents will spend at least $100 a month per child for diapers. That's $1,200 a year, and that's just on diapers. A group out of the cities called Heine Heroes of the Quad Cities is actually a diaper bank. Not only is it meeting a vital community need, it's also asking for your help. Executive Director Carrie Fahd joined us to talk about it. So tell me how this started. I mean, it's a great idea. So many families are in need. Is it because you were in need at the time?
We weren't. We are kind of just basic middle class family. But our youngest daughters are twins. And they were about like 17, 16 months. And we were looking at our budget and realizing we were spending close to $200 every month just for diapers. And it just sent us down a rabbit hole. We started looking at like what kind of support is there for families that are struggling with diapers, and there was nothing.
Well, Heine Heroes is a diaper bank, which is like a food bank. You don't necessarily give it directly to the person. You give it to the people who give it directly to them. So as the middleman, how tough is your position?
It's tough.
Because you're not only looking for the diapers to come in, you have to meet the demand that's out there.
Absolutely, yes. So we get orders from our partners and we do our best to fulfill those orders. So if they want, 200 packs of size sixes, then I'm like, okay, in 4 days, we need 200 packs of size sixes out the door.
How do you get them?
Donations, a lot of donations. A lot of churches and schools and businesses have done diaper drives for us. Financial contributions from the community.
Now, you've been doing this for about 5 years right now. You've seen the price of diapers go up quite a bit just in those 5 years.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And then also with inflation, the price of everything has gone up. So it makes affording diapers that much trickier for families.
So tell me about the people that get the diapers. You give them to a lot of social service organizations.
Yes.
The need is bigger than ever.
Yes. Yeah, we have seen a sharp increase in our partners that we've had for years, and also we've added additional partners in this past year.
So how do you see the diaper need? It sounds weird to say that. When you're talking about blood donations and the need for blood, it's so critically important. Food donations, so critically important. Yes. You don't really think of diapers, but they're just as critically important.
They are. And one of the biggest things about diaper need is that no one talks about it. If you need food, you can ask someone on the street and they'll be like, oh, there's a food pantry down the street, or there is a church that hands out food around the corner. But it's not that way with diapers. There's no place that you can go. And so we're trying to spread the word that there are places you can go and to make diaper need just a more known about issue.
Now, you're doing this part-time in your organization, but you think it's going to grow into something much more than that.
Yes, absolutely. I could definitely make this a full-time job. Right now, I just volunteer, so I do my normal job, and then I do this on, this is my side gig.
But it's vacuuming up a lot of that time, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
So it's a lot of work. Let's talk about the need. What are you looking for in particular?
We are in desperate need of sizes 3, 4, 5, and 6 right now. I have mountains of size 1s and 2s, but babies tend to, they grow really quickly and then they'll stall out for like a year in one size. And we find that those larger sizes go so quickly.
How do you plan to meet that need?
Ooh,
yeah.
Lots of donations. We've been community funded up to this point, but now we need to start really writing for grants aggressively. We've received a few grants over the past like month. And we're just going to keep doing that and really getting the word out. I've been on television a few times recently to kind of just spread awareness.
We're talking about something that didn't exist 6 years ago.
Right.
What was going on 6 years ago? I mean, you're really filling a need that was unmet before.
Yes. We have heard a lot about what families were doing previously that receive our diapers. Reusing diapers. So if a baby has just peed in a diaper, maybe you just hang that diaper up and then put that back on the baby later because it's not completely ruined.
Yeah.
Or just makeshift diapers. I have an old t-shirt and a Walmart bag. People, you just make do with what you have. But
very unsanitary and unsafe for the child.
Yes.
So, I mean, this is really filling that need as well, is to make children safer.
Right.
Oh, that's a huge difference. Oh, tell me about diaper drop-offs, because you have that as well.
Mm-hmm. People can drop off diapers at, there's a few different agencies where you can drop off diapers listed on our website. I know our warehouse in Rock Island, we're open until 4 every day. Diapers can be dropped off there. And then in This Issue Comics in Bettendorf. So we can try to make sure we have two really good ones on both either side of the river.
Right.
But there are a few other places listed on our website.
Tell me a little bit more about how you do drop off. I mean, are there certain times or and you said that you're looking for specific sizes.
Yes, we will take diapers anywhere, anyhow, send a check. We have an Amazon wish list that I post. It's on our website, but also I post it to Facebook quite regularly. So you can just be sitting at home right now, get on Amazon, ship us some diapers. Easy as that.
Let's talk about also the need for diapers as almost like a right.
Yes.
I mean, do you wish that there was some kind of a safety net that was in place?
Yes.
For families? Because like you said, $100 per kid a month mm-hmm. is a lot of money.
Yes, absolutely. And especially when that's for, 24 months. Most kids aren't potty trained before the age of 2. I really do. I wish the government would put me out of business. I would be happy as a clam, but it's not happened yet. I know they're doing some trial. They're trying some things. So it's at least on government radar.
Mm-hmm.
So fingers crossed.
Tell me a little bit also that you're associated with the National Diaper Bank Network.
Yes.
How does that help you?
The National Diaper Bank Network, they do a lot of research for us. They were started by Kimberly Clark, which is the owner of Huggies. They'll do donations for larger diaper banks. They'll get donations. We had an event where Joni Ernst came and helped us hand out diapers a few years ago, and they donated 50,000 diapers that time to help us out. But really, it's just kind of the face of diaper banks tended to make us more professional, more united, so we can work towards a common cause.
And you're on both sides of the river. Is it just Scott and Rock Island County, or how big is your area?
It is. A few of our partner agencies kind of work a little bit in Clinton, a little bit in Muscatine, but majority is just the Quad Cities.
And where do you hear for the greatest need for help geographically? I mean, are you hearing more from those outlying areas? Mm-hmm. Are you hearing more from the city or rural areas?
Yeah. Rock Island County is huge, especially their refugee population. There's a huge need for diapers there.
So one more time, the pitch. If somebody wants to help, how can they do it? And you're also looking for volunteers as well.
Yes, yes. If someone would love to donate money, you can send a check to us at Rock Island. It's 104 10th Street in Rock Island. Or diapers. Like I said, you can get on our Amazon wish list and
yes.
donate diapers. You can just pick up diapers at the store and bring them by.
And the Heine Heroes website has all this information?
Yes, heineheroes.com.
Very good.
Yes.
Heine Heroes Executive Director, Carrie Faw. On the air, on the radio, on the web, on your mobile device, and streaming on your computer. Thanks for taking some time to join us as we talk about the issues on the cities.
And Van Hull Funeral Homes have been serving Quad City families and veterans for over 100 years. Whelan Presley is located in Rock Island, Milan, Reynolds, and Van Hull in East Moline, proudly supporting WQPT. Alternatives is a proud supporter of WQPT and has been serving our community for 40 years. Alternatives provides professional guidance to maintain independence and quality of life for older adults and adults with disabilities.